morning, everyone. Wow. How great is our God. Can you say amen to that? God is good, isn't he? And all the time, God is good. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you are such a good God. And you are great, and you are wonderful, and you are marvelous. And we are in awe of you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for just loving us in spite of our sin, in spite of our shortcomings, that you, a holy God, can embrace us so unholy and so unworthy. But that's how great your love is. And so, Father, I thank you for that. And we praise you for that. And Father, as we look into your word this morning, I ask that you would reveal yourself to us. Help us to have a glimpse of who you are, and help us to have a better understanding and better insight. So thank you again, Lord. Thank you that we can gather together like this as brothers and sisters in Christ and come together and worship and praise you and sit at your feet. So Lord, I pray that you would bless us this day. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When I was younger, much younger, I loved to play basketball. And I wasn't that good, but I still loved to play. And every once in a while in a pickup game normally, I would do some wild and crazy shot, like make a left-handed running hook shot from like 30 feet away and bank it in. Pretty amazing, right? Pure luck. And when the other guys would say, "Wow, how'd you do that? How'd you do that?" And I would just shrug my shoulders and say, "Must have been God's will. Must have been God's will." Right? Well, I don't know if God really cares whether I make a shot or not. I don't think there's any great theological implications about basketball. Even if you're a Laker fan or a Warrior fan or whoever, what kind of a fan you are. But I said it's God's will. And so we're continuing in our sermon series called Experiencing God. And you can see the subtitle of Experiencing God is Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And knowing and doing the will of God is part of experiencing God. As we experience God, as we grow, and as we develop our relationship with him, we continue to find out and discover what is God's will in this situation or that situation. And then we obey and we do it. And as we do the will of God, our experience with God grows as well. It deepens. And it's kind of like a cycle. As we experience God, as we continue to be aware of who he is and what he does in our lives, and as we continue to obey him, our experience grows deeper and grows stronger and grows more certain. So it's a continual cycle. So I would encourage you, if you haven't already, to pick up a book, the workbook, and this is the workbook that many of us are working through. And you spend a few minutes every day going through the workbook, studying right from the heart of Scripture, from God's Word, and I would encourage you to do that. And if you're not part of an Ohana group, a small group, join one. They're going through the same material, and it's going to help you. So I would just encourage you to do that. But as we go through this study, I hope and pray that we just don't learn more about God, that we just don't learn more about the truths of God, but that I pray that you would truly experience God. It's experiencing God. It's not just learning about him, not just filling our head with a bunch of knowledge or facts and figures, but it's growing in our experience, in our everyday life, in our personal relationship with God. And part of that growth, part of that experiencing God too, is the fact that God will call us out. God will call us out to serve him, to be used by him. And it's very much like Moses at the burning bush. That's where he encountered God. He had that personal encounter, that personal relationship with God. He met God face to face. But God just didn't leave it at that. He said, "Moses, I want to use you. I'm going to call you out of your comfort zone. And I'm going to use you for my plan and for my purpose." So that's part of experiencing God. It's fulfilling the purposes of God and the plans of God. And I guarantee you it will change your life as well. So I'm going to be asking a few questions this morning. I may not have a whole lot of answers, But here we go. Here's a few questions. What is God's will? What is God's will? When people want to know and do God's will, many people ask that question, what is God's will for my life? They always add that part. What is God's will for my life? But maybe that's not the right question to ask. Why? Because the focus is on me. What's God's will for my life, Lord? I want to know what you want me to do. Perhaps the proper question to ask is just this. What is God's will? Period. For you see, the focus then is on God. It's not on me. It's not on my life. But it's on God. And that's where the focus needs to be. So I ask you that question. What is God's will? When I go back to school tomorrow, or when I go to work tomorrow, am I aware of what God wants when I'm sitting in that classroom, perhaps taking a test or hanging out with my friends? What is God's will? Am I aware of what God desires when I go to the office? Perhaps when I sit in that boardroom making decisions that would impact many people's lives? Or perhaps you're a federal worker and you're not getting paid during this government shutdown that's taking place. How do I discern what God's will is throughout this shutdown? How do I discern that? How do I know that? How do I do God's will in this particular time or this particular scenario? Well, as I said earlier, I believe part of God's will is calling you out. Calling you out. Calling you out to get out of your comfort zone and to be used by Him. And there's so many examples in the Bible of God calling people out of their comfort zone so that He could use them, so that He could bless them, so that God Himself would be honored and glorified. And it was like last week, Crystal shared her testimony, how God called her out of her comfort zone, and she stepped out in faith and was obedient, and now she's writing a blog for the church. It's like my son Micaiah, who God called him out, and he said, Micaiah, I want you to preach. And so a few weeks ago, he stood here on stage, and he preached in front of us. He got out of his comfort zone, and God used him, and God honored that. But what is God's will in this scenario? And what would He want you to do? Remember Moses? God said, Moses, I'm going to call you out of your comfort zone. You've been a shepherd for 40 years, on the backside of the mountain. I'm going to call you and I'm going to send you back to Egypt where you came from. That was certainly way, way outside of his comfort zone. He wanted to get away from Egypt. He basically was kicked out and chased out of Egypt. But God says, I want to use you. This is my will for you. This is my plan. This is my purpose for you. And so the question is, what is God's will? And what is his purpose? And so once we know God's will, remember, it starts with him. It's got to start with him. So once we know God's will, then we can adjust our life to him. In other words, what is it that God is wanting to accomplish where I am? Through me. And once I know what God is doing, then I know what I need to do. And see, the focus needs to be on God, and not on me, and not on my life. And so this morning, I just want to leave simply with you two truths today that perhaps can help you to discern God's will and to do God's will. Here's the truth. The first one is, and you can see it up here on the screen, number one, God is always at work in and around you. All right? I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, God is always at work in and around you. Can you say that? Turn to your other neighbor and say, God is always at work in and around you. I hope you believe that. John chapter 5, verse 17 says this. And this is Jesus Christ himself in his prayer. And he's speaking and he says, this is what Jesus says, verse 17. My Father is always at his work to this very day. And I too am working. And it goes on a few more verses. Verse 19 says, and Jesus continues and he says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. You see, God is at work in you and around you. He's always at work. I want to show this video. And I have two reasons why I want to show the video. Let me explain to you. The first reason why is today, the third Sunday of January, is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Let me give you a little background on this. On January 13th, 1984, President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation designating January 22nd, which is just a couple of days from now, as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. January 22nd, 1973 was the day the U.S. Supreme Court legalized abortion on demand in all 50 states. Churches around the United States used the day to celebrate God's gift of life, to commemorate the many lives lost to abortion, and to commit themselves to protecting human life at every stage. And the Salvation Army, our church, believes in that as well, that we want to protect human life at every stage, because life is precious and life is valuable. And so churches continue to recognize the third Sunday in January as the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And that's the first reason I want to show this video. But the second reason why, and it'll be to my point that I'm trying to make, is that as you watch the video, I want it to illustrate that even before you were born, God was at work in you and around you. So sit back and just watch this short video. So you can see that even before we were born, God was already at work within us and around us. And then I can go to the other end of the spectrum as well. Even in death, God is working in and around us. And I look at our family here, and we just had a celebration of life service for Eleanor, Charlene's mom, and it was really a celebration, wasn't it? And even though she had died and left this earth physically, through the service and through the interactions, I could see God working in and around them. Because she lived a life, a good life. She loved the Lord. She served the Lord. And even in her death, the Lord was drawing people and others closer to him. Perhaps it was helping some people or perhaps other family members to come to terms with their own mortality or perhaps to reflect upon their own relationship with God or perhaps what kind of legacy they were building and what kind of legacy they would have left behind. But nevertheless, even in death, God is working in people's lives and he's active and he's alive. And then I think about just all the time in between birth and death, at every moment, God is always at work around us. Some of you have concern for your kids that maybe have gone off to college, but God is working in that midst. God is taking care of them and protecting them and providing a way for them and perhaps calling them out to serve him as well. This Experiencing God campaign, there's much evidence of God at work. The interest that people have shown, the Ohana groups that are growing. Major Debbie started her women's group, and they're studying Experiencing God, and she had almost 30 ladies come last week, and it's just amazing. There is a hunger. There's a spiritual thirst that people want to grow. They want to know God better. They want to experience God, and that is evidence. That is evidence that God is at work in people's lives, and that's just one small example. So you see, God is working all around you and all within you all the time. But one of the greatest tragedies among God's people is that although we deeply long to experience God and we encounter him each and every day, we sometimes do not recognize him. We don't recognize him. We're either too busy or too distracted. And miracles and God's activity is taking place all around us. But so many times we don't see it. We're not aware of it. And I sometimes, many times, I casually take God for granted. I don't recognize him working in my life and in my surroundings. And so I would encourage you to keep your eyes open, to keep your heart open, because God is alive and well, and he's working and moving amongst us and within us. And so as we go through this series, as we go through this study, we're going to learn many ways to clearly identify God's activity in our lives. And of course, we don't do it by ourselves. We definitely need the help of the Holy Spirit who would guide us and teach us and instruct us and show us the way and encourage us. And of course, there's God's Word. And it will teach us and it will help us to know when and where God is working. And then we can respond to that and then follow Him where He leads. But we must recognize God at work. We must sometimes put on a new set of lenses to be more aware and to see and to recognize in our daily circumstances and in our daily interactions with others that God is alive and well and very active and at work in our lives. John 5:17 again says, "My Father is always at His work to this very day. And I too," Jesus says, "am working." He's busy. He's working. Let's recognize it. Let's become aware of it. So how do we do that? How do we get better at recognizing that God is always at work in and around us so that we can join Him in His work? Because that's the goal. We want to join Him in His work. And then so that we can better know and then do the will of God. Which brings me to the second truth this morning. And it's very simple. And the second truth is that we need to always abide in Jesus Christ. Abide is an older word, but we're going to explain that in just a few moments. But you can see on the screen that it says, abide in Christ. All right, so turn to your neighbor and say, abide in Christ. Turn to the other side and say, abide in Christ. And here's the verse, John 15:5. I think some of you may have memorized it. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. This is a great passage of Scripture, John 15. And Jesus says this, He says, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So how many of you have memorized that verse? A few of you have? That's because, remember, that's part of the lesson. All right? Well, in case you haven't, we're going to do it now. All right? So here's the challenge. If you can't remember anything I said today, at least you're going to remember the memory verse, all right? So if people ask you later on this week, "Hey, what did you do on Sunday?" "Oh, I went to church at the Croc Center." "Oh, yeah? Did you learn anything? What did the preacher talk about?" Now you can say, "Well, I learned this memory verse. It's John 15:5." Okay, so we're going to do it all together. You see it up here? We're going to read it together, and that's how you memorize something. You just repeat. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. Okay, so let's read it together on the count of three. Now, I've got to say, make sure when we reach the end of the verse, we have to say the address. Where is this verse found? It's John 15:5. Okay, so make sure you say that. All right, so let's try it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. Good. Let's try it one more time. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." All right, next slide. Here we go. A few words are missing. Can you do it? You sure you can? Here we go. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "I am the vine, you are the branches. John 15:5. Good. Next slide. Here we go. All right. Come on. You guys can do it. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. "I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. Good job. Next slide. Here we go. You guys got it? All right. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in you, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. Great. Next slide. Stand up, everybody. Stand up. Come on. Stand up. Here we go. Next slide. Here we go. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. Great. Let's try. Next slide. Here we go. With confidence, with gusto. Let me hear it, all right? Here you go. 1, 2, 3. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. Great. Next slide. Here we go. Come on. No excuse. Ready?
Yes.
Say it with confidence, with gusto. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. All right, give yourselves a hand. Have a seat. Have a seat. You guys did great. Okay? Don't forget. Don't forget that. It's an important verse to remember. Abide in Christ. What does that mean? What does abide mean? Abide means to remain stable or fixed in a state. In the phrase abide in me, or in this phrase remain in me, Jesus is asking his followers to stay connected, to stay constant in their relationship to Jesus. You see, it all comes back to our personal relationship with Jesus. Last week, if you were here, we talked about the basics, and the very basic of being a Christian, of being a follower of Christ, is our own personal relationship with Jesus. That's the basic. And so we need to get back to that. So to truly experience God, we need to remain constant in our relationship to him. We need to stay in tune with God. We need to stay close to God. We need to stay connected to God. Just like the branches stay connected to the vine, right? Jesus said that he's the vine and we're the branches, and we need to be connected. And what will happen as we stay connected to Christ in this way? We just quoted the verse. What will happen? If I remain in him and he remains in me, what will happen? We will bear much fruit. You see, we will not only know the will of God, but we will be doing the will of God and seeing the results and bearing fruit for God's glory, for God's honor. Can you say amen to that? So that's why it's important to stay connected, to abide in Christ. But how do we do that? How do we stay connected and stay in tune and stay close to Christ in our relationship? Well, like any other relationship, in order for it to grow and thrive, you need to cultivate it and develop it, just like you would cultivate a plant. And that goes across any relationship. It doesn't matter whether it's a husband and wife, a child or a parent, an employer, an employee. That relationship, you've got to cultivate it. And so how do we do that? Well, look at this formula I have up here. It says QT equals QR. And we preached a sermon a little while ago and we talked about this. QT equals QR, quality time equals quality relationship. And as I said, that goes across any type of relationship. So it's important for us to have this connectedness with Jesus Christ in our own personal relationship, for us to abide in Christ. We need to spend time with the Lord on a daily basis. It's so critical. It's so important. It's so basic. But we have to keep repeating that because sometimes we forget the basics. And you remember, some of you were here when we did that sermon about where's your chair? And we had a rocking chair up here. And that was the place that we said, okay, that's our place where we're going to meet with God every day. That's my chair. It could be in a special spot in your house, in the backyard, could be at the beach, could be in your car, but be intentional about that. Well, we don't have a chair this time, but we have a burning bush. So maybe the question we need to ask ourselves is, where's your burning bush? Where's your burning bush? Where you can meet with God face to face on a regular basis. A daily time that takes discipline and takes intention, but it's so important. It's so essential. Quality time equals quality relationship. And we need to make sure that the Bible is our guide. The Bible is a guide. It's so essential. It's so important. Martin Luther said this. He said, sola scriptura, which means the Bible, the scriptures, alone. Nothing else. It's not our church tradition. It's not public opinion. It's not best practices by what everyone else is doing. But what we base our life on and what we believe and how we practice and how we develop our relationship with God needs to be found solely in His Word and nothing else. And that's why as you work through this, the workbook, Experiencing God, it's come straight from Scripture. And that is so important. That is so important because we hear so many other winds of doctrine and philosophies, and we're tempted to believe them and trust in them. But we've got to make sure everything comes from the Word of God. Everything that is preached from this pulpit or from this stage, you make sure it comes from the Word of God. And God provides the Word for you. So we need to know it. We need to understand it. We need to study it. The Salvation Army, that is our first cardinal doctrine, our first belief. It says, we believe that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments were given by inspiration of God and that they only constitute the divine rule of Christian faith and practice. So again, when you spend your time with God, make sure your life and your heart is filled with His Word. And so I encourage you to do that, to spend the time. I spend my time with my phone because I have the Bible on my phone, with the Bible app. And I'm reading through the Bible in 1 year, and this is great. It's very helpful. It's very convenient, and it helps me to do that. And so I would encourage you to do that. I encourage you to get into your small group or get with someone else, to fellowship, to have encouragement, to have a sense of accountability. But there's nothing more vital than your own personal relationship with God. And so I'm going to call the worship team to come up. And I'm going to ask this question. What does abiding in Christ mean? What does abiding in Christ mean? It means that you need to follow Jesus one day at a time. It's as simple as that. Just follow Him one day at a time. Sometimes it's one moment at a time. Abiding in Jesus means to be obedient to His Word. It means to listen to His voice and to respond quickly and cheerfully. That's what abiding means. It's just to follow Him. It's not saying, Lord, I'm just going to give my whole life to You and forever and ever and ever. It's more about just making a daily commitment and a daily promise to Him that says, God, whatever it is that You have for me today, that's Your will. I'll follow it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. It's just today. Tomorrow will have enough worries of its own. So I just want to follow You today. Let me close with one illustration. Some of you may have heard it before. See, it's late in the evening, and I'm finishing work here at the Croc Center. I need to go home. I go outside, I get into my car, turn the lights on, the headlights, and the headlights flash in front of me. Maybe it shows about maybe 200 feet in front of me. Now, obviously, my house is further than 200 feet from the Croc Center. So do I say, well, I can't see my destination, so I'm not going to go? No, that would be foolish of me. So I can only see a couple hundred feet in front of me, so I just drive that first 200 feet. But as I do that, another 200 feet gets illumined. And then I drive that portion. And then some more gets illumined, some more gets revealed to me, and I continue. And I just keep repeating that until eventually I reach my destination and I reach my home. Following Jesus is just like that. He's not always going to reveal His great big grand plan and you can see the end result. He may only reveal a couple of feet in front of you or even a couple of inches. But He says, step this way, walk this way, drive this way. And as we do that, as we obey Him, and as we step out in faith, out of our comfort zone, He reveals more. And then we take another step, and then more is revealed. And it's just simply trusting in God and obeying. It's that old song that we used to sing, the old hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. That's what following Jesus is all about. That's what abiding in Christ is all about. It's just stepping out in faith where God has revealed to you, and then God will reveal more. It's just trusting and obeying. So if you do everything Jesus tells you to do, just one day at a time, I guarantee you'll be right in the center of God's will for your life. As the worship team sings, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and allow God's Holy Spirit just to minister to your heart. Those of you who were last week, we had that piece of Play-Doh. And remember, I said in the hands of God, we need to place ourselves in the hands of God and allow God to shape us and mold us into what He would want us to be. But the interesting thing about us as human beings, we're not like this lifeless, shapeless piece of Play-Doh. We're a living creature. We still have free will. And so every once in a while we can slip. We can take ourselves out of the center of God's will for whatever reason. We get busy, distracted, whatever. So we need to come again and place ourselves in God's hand again. And we need to do this on a regular basis because we need to. And so again, as the worship team sings, we have more Play-Doh if you want to come and get one, and may it serve as a reminder to you that on a daily basis, we need to commit to following Jesus. And if you need to come to play to the place of prayer, I welcome you to do that as well. We'll have people standing on the side if you want them to pray with you or to just listen to you. They're available as well. But allow God's Holy Spirit to minister to your heart this morning. Let's pray together. If there's a special need on your heart or concern and you want me to remember you in prayer this morning, just slip up your hand, slip it down. God bless you. Amen. Lord bless you. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, this morning we commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. Just for this day, we want to follow you. We want to be obedient to you. We want to stay close to you. And so, Father, wrap us in your arms of love and care. Allow your Holy Spirit to whisper into our ears, to remind us that we are loved, that we are cherished by you. Help us, Lord, to sense that and to experience you in the fullest sense. So, Father, we thank you. We place ourselves in your hands again. Our desire, Lord, is this: we just want to be in the center of your will, whatever that means for each and every one of us. You know what it is. So, Lord, we just do that now. And Heavenly Father, for those who've raised their hands, who have a concern, who have a need, Father, you know their hearts and you know their situations. And so, Lord, we just lift them up to you. I pray, Father, that you would already come down and just surround them with your love and with your presence and remind them, Father, that you love them and that you care about them, that you are concerned about whatever their needs are. And so, Lord, I just pray that they would place that and trust that to you this day. So thank you again, Father. Thank you for reminding us of who you are and that you love us. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.